Good morning. Welcome to worship. Maybe a new face in front of you today that you weren't expecting. It's good to be with you. My name is Dave Kalpin. I'm the pastor of Foundation Lutheran Church, new mission start in the Folsom, El Dorado Hills area. A special welcome to those of you that are joining us online this morning. Though distance may separate us, God's word unites us. And the Lord is certainly present through His Word. It's that Word of God that serves as the focus of our worship this morning. In our gospel reading, we're going to hear the phrase, "He who has ears, let him hear." And that's a phrase that emphasizes the importance of us listening to what Jesus has to say in His Word, because it's through His Word that His Spirit works. It's through His Word that He calls us to repentance, and it's through His Word that He most importantly points us to His all-atoning for sin. So with that, we will begin our worship. That will be printed and you can follow along in the service folder that's available on the website if you don't have it already. We'll begin by singing the "Let All Things Now Living," hymn number 260. We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking Him, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to forgive us.
Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worrying and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins. Forgive me for Jesus' sake.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, Hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ.
Christ, have mercy.
For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you. We pray. Grant us, Lord, the spirit to think and do what is right, that we who cannot do anything that is good without you may by your help be enabled to live according to your will.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today, our first reading from God's Word is recorded in the book of Joel, chapter 3. There we'll begin reading at verse 12. These words will also serve as our sermon text for today, and it's in these words that the Lord certainly gets our attention. He gives some very serious words of rebuke, but some very serious words of comfort for those who are the people of God. We hear from the prophet of Joel. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and moon will be darkened and stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heavens will tremble. But the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. These are the words of our God. We'll continue by singing two verses of Lord Jesus Christ, With Us Abide, hymn 541. Our second reading from God's Word this morning is recorded in the book of 1 Peter chapter 4. There we'll read verses 1 through 8. Here in these very important words of Jesus, we hear that it's important for those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb to set their lives according to the Word of the Lamb. We read from 1 Peter chapter 4. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. For you have spent enough time in the past doing what the pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. They are surprised that you do not join them in their reckless, wild living, and they heap abuse on you. But they will have to give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is the reason the gospel was preached, even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to their body, but live according to God in regard to the Spirit. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers all over a multitude of sins. This too is the word of our Lord. We'll sing two more verses. Our gospel reading this morning is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. There we'll read selected verses. In our previous two readings, we learned that the judgment is coming and that the judgment is near and that the Lord's word is so important to be in our ears as that judgment approaches. It's in our gospel reading that we hear that the judgment, the judging, is clearly the Lord's work. But our work as we wait is to remain in peace, in the peace that the Lord gives, and then also to proclaim that peace to everyone around us. We read from Matthew chapter 13. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." Jesus answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all those who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Our worship continues with the hymn of the day, "Lord, Open Now My Heart to Hear," hymn 282. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in rich abundance from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, fellow redeemed. There were times in Jesus' life where he had to deliver a rather stiff rebuke to people that he cared about. There were topics that Jesus covered with friends and family that definitely would not fall under the category of fun and games. You might remember some of those times when Jesus had to deliver some stern words to people that were close to him, maybe his disciples or even his mother and brothers. But whenever things got serious, it was always perfectly clear that Jesus said what he did because he wanted those who were listening to him to trust that their heavenly Father was holding them more tightly than they had ever known. Understand then, please, the words of our sermon text for this morning carry this very same purpose from God. The Lord would have you know that you are held so tightly by your heavenly Father. He would have you see even more than you ever have before, how tightly the Lord is holding you close to himself. So listen again to these very serious words from Joel chapter 3. Let the nations be roused. Let them advance into the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there I will sit to judge all the nations on every side. Swing the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come trample the grapes, for the winepress is full and the vats overflow. So great is their wickedness. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon will be darkened and the stars no longer shine. The Lord will roar from Zion and thunder from Jerusalem. The earth and the heaven will tremble, but the Lord will be a refuge for his people, a stronghold for the people of Israel. These are the words of our God. There was some rather bad news. In fact, it was horrible news. And the whole nation was really thrown into a panic. Some people came to Jehoshaphat. He was the king of the nation of Israel. Some people came to him as he was residing in his palace in Jerusalem. And this was their message. This was their report. This was the bad news that Judah was being attacked from a vast enemy army that was advancing from the southeast. And every report that came in made it perfectly clear that there was no way that Judah could stand up against this vast enemy army. It was a certain destruction. And so King Jehoshaphat did what was wise. He gathered the nation of Israel. He gathered the people of Israel at the temple, and he offered a prayer to the Lord, a prayer that's recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a rather lengthy prayer, but included in that prayer are these words. Lord, we have no power to go up against this vast enemy army. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. The Lord answered that prayer with a response. He didn't boom out his voice from heaven. In fact, he sent his word through one of the prophets, a man by the name of Jehazael. And this is what the Lord said to his people. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army. For the battle is not yours, it's God's. And so very early the next morning, Jehoshaphat appointed a certain amount of men to stand in front of the army of Judah as it advanced. And their job was to sing praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. Their job was to say over and over again, words that we say oftentimes in a meal, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Imagine the Judean army, the army of Judah, advancing toward their enemy, giving thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. And the Lord, He caused that vast enemy army, comprised of three separate nations, to turn in on itself, to literally destroy each other right down to the very last person. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that must have been like to be the army of Judah and come upon that enemy already destroyed? 2 Chronicles records it. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. You see, with that background provided, can you begin to understand a little bit more and maybe a little bit better why Joel imagines the day of Jesus' return, imagines Judgment Day to be taking place in the valley of Jehoshaphat? You see, it was in that valley that God's people did nothing, that God's enemies didn't stand a chance. You see, at the end, on the last day, all people will see God's single-handed smashing victory. And so, maybe with these harsh words, it might not seem like it or right away, but God's purpose with these words is that we feel our Father's, our God's warm embrace bringing us closer to Himself. And again, it may not seem like it right away because there's these two pictures that speak of swift and certain judgment on the day that Jesus returns. Standing grain really has no chance against a sharp sickle. All who are opposed to Christ and all who are apart from Christ on the last day will fall and be condemned. And then there's the other picture, right? Grapes, they really don't stand a chance. They can't defend themselves. They can't fight back when they're being picked off from the vine, thrown into the wine press, and being trampled into grape juice. Again, all who are apart from Christ and all who are opposed to Christ will be trampled under Jesus' foot and condemned. And there won't be any resistance, a skirmish, or a struggle, just judgment by Jesus. Now, I know there's no perfect comparison, and all illustrations limp, but what do we to expect about that day of Jesus' return, that day of judgment? Well, maybe you can imagine the setting to be somewhat like a crowded theater. Now, I know it's probably been a long time since you've been in a crowded theater, and it may be a long time before you are again. I think you can probably still imagine in your mind's eye what that was like. A crowded theater, everyone's gathered, and it's all very boisterous, and everybody's talking and carrying on. And then the house lights are dimmed twice, cueing everyone to take their seat. Everyone's quiet, and the show commences. Well, on the last day, it's not as though we're going to be gathered in a large theater, but we will be gathered before the Lord. And it won't be the house lights, but it'll be the sun and the moon, and they'll be dimmed, but dimmed for good. And the show, be it ever so brief, will commence. The voice of the Lord will shake the heavens and the earth, and the whole universe crumbles. And we're not merely invited to consider what might happen. No, in very clear terms, visible for all to see, we will see God's victory over His enemies is single-handed and smashing. Again, all who are apart from Christ and all who oppose Christ will go away from Christ for good. Those words, those very serious words, have to say something to us, don't they? They have to inform us about what the work of the church really has to be all about, don't they? You see, our congregations, they can't become nothing more than a country club for conservative Lutherans, a place where people of a similar heritage can gather and socialize and hang out together. You see, there has to be something about us that dispels this notion out there that the church is really only concerned about money and volunteers and numbers and its reputation. No, a church with the message of Jesus in its hands, holding the message of Jesus in its hands, exists to be a safe house for sinners. A place, more than anywhere else, a place where people can hear unmistakably and repeatedly that there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved on Judgment Day. No other name other than Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life as a ransom for all. So what is it? What is it that's going to keep our churches on task with this urgent mission of reducing the number of Judgment Day casualties? What's going to keep us focused on that incredibly urgent mission as that day approaches? Well, it's not a new initiative. It's not a program. It's definitely not just a clever slogan. It's a very old message. A message of sin and grace, of law and gospel. Friends, we live in a world where people are divided. People look at each other and size each other up and wonder, well, which camp are you on? What's important to you? Which side do you stand on? But we need to remember that throughout the whole world, there's only one class of people. Sinners. Everyone is equally guilty before God. Everyone, absolutely every person, deserves destruction by God. But every person has been pardoned, a pardon granted by God. And the reason that can happen was because the one that God appointed to be the judge over the living and the dead was himself condemned. Jesus himself was condemned for worshiping Baal. Jesus was condemned for praying to Zeus. Jesus was condemned for bowing to Allah. All three gods don't even exist. Jesus was not only condemned for ancestor worship that happens halfway across the world, but for bowing down to alcohol and to career and computers and family. Bowing down to home ownership and money and music and sports and sex and whatever it is we worship in our society. Jesus wasn't just condemned as one of the unbelievers on Judgment Day. Jesus wasn't just condemned as all of the unbelievers on Judgment Day. Jesus was condemned for all sinners of all time, all at once. In fact, you could say that it's almost as if Judgment Day happened right then, right there on Good Friday, when God turned the one who had no sin into sin for us. You know what? There can be no more relieving sight than to see God take out all of his judgment out on his Son, to inject all of his wrath into his Son, and then to see God's Son emerge from the torment of hell and death and the grave, and then to look at you through the eyes of his Word and to speak and pour these words into your ears. The peace of the Lord be with you always. There's only one thing. There's only one thing that can keep you safe when Jesus enters the valley of Jehoshaphat. There's only one thing that can keep you safe when Jesus enters the valley of decision, the valley of judging the living and the dead. Only one thing makes a person safe. And you have it. It's a wondrous set of clothes. You know the words of the hymn. Jesus, your blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious dress. Mid flaming worlds, with these arrayed, with joy I shall lift up my head. On the day of God's single-handed smashing victory, what does Joel say? The Lord will be a refuge for his people. The destruction will not touch you as Jesus himself surrounds you. See, almost effortlessly, he will eliminate all of his opposition, and those who are wearing his blood and his righteousness, they'll be safe. You'll be safe. And now, friends, as you do, as you feel your Father's embrace close you, or embrace and bring you and squeeze you closer to his chest with that serious message, look around you and reach out and pull someone else in close where you are. Amen. The peace of our God, which surpasses all understanding, that peace will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Having heard God's word and been strengthened by the Holy Spirit working through that word, let's make public confession of our faith. We'll do so by using the words of the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Now go to the Lord in prayer with the mission concerning the mission of the church. Eternal God and Father, we give you thanks for the blessings we share as members of your holy church, for your gracious word and sacraments, for opportunities to worship and to grow in faith and knowledge, for occasions to serve and to be served, for fellowship with believers in our congregation and in our synod.
Help us to rejoice in these blessings, dear Lord, and to use them faithfully.
Jesus Christ, Lord of the Church, you give grace to your people by calling us to be your witnesses in the world. Open our eyes to see the great and noble mission that lies before us, in the hurting eyes of the lonely, in the pained eyes of the sick, and in the searching eyes of the lost. Help us to see your face, O Jesus, and to serve others as we would serve you.
Awaken us to the opportunities you give to proclaim your message of love.
Holy Spirit, giver of life, through word and sacrament, bestow on us the wisdom and power we need to witness clearly and to act boldly. Help us to speak the truth in love, to give the reason for the hope that we have, and to conduct ourselves with gentleness and respect.
Set our hearts on fire as we work and witness for Christ.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray for a family member, an acquaintance, a neighbor, or a friend who does not believe in you or whose faith is weak or troubled. Bless the church with men and women who are willing to proclaim your word in places where we cannot go. Keep them and their loved ones in your care, and let nothing hinder their work. By the power of the gospel, restore their spirits each day so that they do not lose heart as they serve us and others.
Move us to support them with our sincere prayers and generous offerings.
Wherever your word is proclaimed, O Lord, grant it success. Let your kingdom come to us and others, so that we and many more might join the assembly of saints and angels to sing your praise forever.
Savior of all, hear our prayer and help us in our mission. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Now hear the blessing of our Savior God. Lord, bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen. Amen.
We'll continue with our closing hymn, God Has Spoken by His Prophets, Christian Worship Hymn 281.
Thank you.
Good morning once again. It was a pleasure to be able to worship with you and proclaim the Word of God to you and to be fed by that Word with you. Just a couple of announcements, maybe encouragements, more than announcements, to continue to support, generously support the Lord's work. You can mail your offerings to the Lord's work, your thank offerings to the Lord's work here to the church office, or you can certainly give online on the website or through the QR code in the service folder. And then also stay as informed as you possibly can of the important work that goes on here at St. Mark's and how you can be a part of that by reading the weekly news. With that, I will wish you God's blessings as you live your faith and live in peace in the Lord's Word. Thank you.